A sermon entitled this morning, Which of the Two Are You? Out of the book of Luke 15, we're going to start in verse 11. We're just going to read a little bit. If you're there, say amen. If you're still looking, just continue looking. Continue going, you'll find it sooner or later. The Word of God says, Then he said, A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me. So he divided his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to the far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And his son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring a fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now the older was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of his servants and asked, What these things meant? And he said to him, Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound. Your father has killed the fatted calf, but he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandments at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, Son, you are always with me, and all I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. We ask you, God, let us rejoice, God, as the Father rejoices when one that has been lost comes back into his house. Father, we thank you. Help us in all things. Give us, God, a heart that is grateful and merry. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. So this morning, how many came prepared to take a test? You're like, Pastor, stop playing. See, you don't, it's not a pass or fail. Just keep a mental note. It is going to be a yes or a no. Amen. But this says something about who we are. Number one is optimistic. Optimistic is a mindset that expects positive outcomes, believes in favor of future and views, amen, and sees the glass as half full. Pessimistic is involving a tendency to focus on negative cues, expects the worst case scenario, and views the glass as half empty. So which of the two are you? Amen. Now just answer these if you want. Number one, in certain times, I usually expect the best. Pessimistic or yes or no. Number two, it's easy for me to relax. If something goes wrong for me, it will be. I hardly ever expect things to go my way. Overall, I expect more good things to happen to me than bad. Do you consider the world a nice place to live? Do you think that you should not get too involved in things because they are going to end sooner or later? In order to avoid disappointment, do you force yourself to have low expectations? And the last one, when you start a new activity, do you expect yourself to be successful? Or one more, do you trust people? How many yes answers did you have? If you had more yes than no, you are probably optimistic. If you had more no answers than yes, you're probably pessimistic. This was out of a personality, scan or a personality that I looked up. See, sometimes it's interesting to find out who we really are. The test, was there not to allow you to pass or fail, but to see exactly how we see things in life. See, the story here in our text, it is known as the story. Many of years we've seen it, many of times it has been preached. Time and time again, we see it as only the story of the prodigal son. But as we see the story, how many know that there are more than one character in our text? We have number one, we have the prodigal son. Number two, we have the older brother. And number three, we have the father. These three main characters, and I want you to see which one of the two, because we know that we're not the father. How many know that? We know that we are not the father, for there is only one. But which one of these two, are you more closely related to? We have the prodigal son. His attitude was, everything exists to serve me. I am the center of all attention. There is nothing more important than myself. He wanted his father to serve him. He says these words, give me what I deserve. How many know, amen, that when you ask things in that manner, I deserve it. You have to serve. You have to give me because that's rightfully mine. His main pursuit in life was one of two things, money and pleasure. His father's house was now too small for his expectations. So he left the father's house to find more of the things that would truly satisfy him. How many know, amen, that's what we, amen. Listen, growing up in my dad's house, I said, I can't wait to leave my dad's house. How many made that statement? I can't wait to get out of this stinking, and then you can put however many words you say, right? Because listen, in my father's house there in Merced, California, there was only two ways that you were going to get out, or three ways. Either number one, you were going to die. Number two, you were going to go to college. Or number three, you were going to join the military. You are raised in that agriculture community. You are raised there, amen, and there's nothing, there's no way out. I wanted to get out. I said, I'm not going to go out and kill myself like my parents did. I said, I don't really want to go to school, so I'm going to join the military. Then I said to myself, well, now that I'm in the military, now let me go to school. Right? But something happened. I had kid number one. I said, whoa. I said, well, that's going to put a little bit of setback. Now kid number one was already growing up. Number two came out. I said, well, I still want to go back to school, but now I got to wait. Kid number three came out, and I said, okay, I'm going to, one of these years, I want to go back to school. Four and five came out together. And God says, okay, so let's change your plans. You're not going to probably go to school. Now I'm getting ready to be 55 years old, and I'm still in the mindset, one of these years I want to go back to school. See, the prodigal son, folks, left to find, amen, more of the things that would satisfy him. And can I tell you, all of that, it cost him everything. He hit rock bottom, and can I tell you, it wasn't a slow, gradual decline, amen. He went from high life to being in the basement quickly. Secondly, there was the older son. He worked his whole life, and he never left home. He did everything the father ever asked of him. But in his heart, down deep, amen, in his heart, he had resentment. And that resentment caused him to get angry. He felt ignored. How many have ever felt ignored? He was secretly jealous of his younger brother. Why did he? Listen, you have to understand. that the older brother was the one that got the inheritance. Right? Father, why did you give him? It should have belonged to me. See, he did everything like he thought it should be done, but yet he was still unhappy. If he was not going to be happy, how many have ever said that? If I'm not going to be happy, nobody's going to be happy. Then lastly, amen, we have the Father. Can I tell you, the Father loved them both. And he sacrificed and would do anything for both of them. Can I tell you, the Father is not a respecter of persons. The Father sees all of us exactly the same. See, so here, amen, in our text, we have three people of one family. We have the father, the older son, and the younger son. Which of the three or which of the two are you closest to this morning? See, the main character is not the younger or the older son, but it is the father. Jesus, he uses this parable, to teach. The Greek word for parable is P-A-R-A-B-O-L-E. It means, it is a Greek word that means to place alongside or a comparison. He used these parables to be able to teach everyday life for a spiritual and a moral truth. This story here is a parable. The spiritual truth here is that everything in life always has to revolve, not around you. I know that you want to be the center of all attention. I know that everything is for you, but everything here, is about the Father. Both sons had one connection, and that was that they had a relationship with the Father. The Father loved them both. He didn't turn his back on either one of them and didn't withhold anything from them. He loved them both equally. On the test that you took, you saw whether you were optimistic or pessimistic. Regardless of which one, the Father loves you the same. Whether you are more like the prodigal son, he never turned, his back towards him, and he will never turn his back on you also. He's always watching, if you are that prodigal, that you would come back to him one day. He may let you chase, listen, can I tell you? He may let you chase money and pleasure or the things that you find a satisfaction in. But he knows how those things, because remember, he knows the beginning from what? From the end. And he knows, the Father knows that if you chase the satisfactions, if you chase the pleasure, if you chase the money, he knows how those things will end up for you. And sometimes, he will not stop you. He will let you hit rock bottom if that is what it takes to get you back to who he is. How many know that that's, my father didn't stop me from drinking. And matter of fact, my mother said, son, I prefer that you do what you're going to do in my house and not out in the streets. See, the Father will let you and I make our choices if that is what it's going to take to get you to come back to who he is. If you are more like the older son, everything that he has always had is and will be, amen, it's always been there available for you. Maybe this morning, you're busy worrying about other people and how they are missing out on the blessing. Maybe you're missing the Father's best because you're jealous of others. Why do they always have X, Y, and Z? Can I tell you, the Father gives you your portion. And he gives others their portion. And your portion is the portion that has been given for you and I. Can I tell you, I don't ever say, why am I not like him, her, or them? I say, God, I'm thankful for everything you've done in my life. God, I'm thankful. And because we are so worried about why other people are being blessed, we're missing the blessing for ourselves. Maybe you're missing the Father's best because of our jealousy. Maybe you're too busy judging others that you cannot see the blessings that you do have. Because how many know that we can see what everybody else has, but we can't see what we have? We cannot see what we have. See, the Father this morning, he loves us so much that he gives us freedom. How many know that freedom sometimes can be our worst blessing that God gives us? God, just hold me. Hold me there within a certain limit. God, don't let me. But see, God allows you to go and be free to whatever you desire. He gives us the freedom to run. If you do not want to, amen, the prodigal son didn't want to be in the Father's house anymore. He said, as he came, Father, give me the portion that I deserve. So the Father, what did he do? He gave him his portion. And he said, you are free to go. You're free to chase after the greener pastures outside of my house. But at the same, as he gave us the freedom to chase those green pastures, he gives us the freedom to also hit rock bottom. Pastor, that's not fair. God gives you that freedom. God gives you that liberty. See, you might squander everything that he has ever given you. He knows where that will eventually lead you to. But he gives you the freedom to mess up your life if that's what you desire. Because you want freedom. See, the older son ignored everything that the father had for him. The father offered him everything he ever had, but yet was blinded and could not see. He was too busy trying to earn the father's approval. The older son seemed like he had a miserable life in the father's house. He had everything the father ever had, but yet he was still miserable. Could we this morning have everything that the Father has available for us, but yet we ignore his blessings? Could we ignore everything we have because all we think is, I'm just in my Father's house? And this morning we can be miserable because all we think is, I'm just here with my Father. See, the father, as the younger son went out, he wasted everything. He hit rock bottom. He began to eat, and feed the swine. He did all these things, Can I tell you, the father was always waiting for the son's return. He was watching. He was looking, for him that had gone astray. And when he saw him, he had compassion. He ran to meet him. And he said, son, you were lost, but now you're found. See, he threw his arms around him. He kissed him. The father, listen to me, the father never gives up on you and I. He was always watching. He was always waiting for the prodigal. And can I tell you this morning? He's waiting for the prodigals to return. To realize one thing. That it is not bad to be with my Heavenly Father. See, people, they have to have. Can I tell you, we are going to have, just like we have to have a revelation that we are really not missing out. You know what? I got 5 kids. And every single one of them, at one point in their growth, I'm the pastor of the church, folks. My kids have been raised in the church. My oldest, who's going to be 33 at the end of the month, she was 6 years old when she came into the church. My second was 3 years old when she came into the church. And my last 3, they were born already inside the church. And every single one of them have made a decision to venture out of the Father's house. Not my house, the Father. And as they've made the decision, every single one of them comes back and says, Dad, I just wanted to see because I thought that I was missing out. Dad, I felt like I was deprived. All we do is go to church. All we do is Wednesday, church. Friday, outreach. Saturday morning, outreach. Sunday morning, church. Sunday evening, church. And then it goes back to, what do we do? Dad, we're always. So every single one of them said, I just want to try it out. And every one of them came back tainted in one way or another. Because just like the prodigal son said, what am I doing? The servants of my father's house have it better than what I have it now. I got a plan. The plan will be that I'll tell my father, Father, I'm not worthy. Make me as one of your servants. Today, three of my daughters will be married, and the other two will be married, hopefully by the end of the year. One of my kids kissed the boy, and she was so guilty that she says, Dad, we didn't do the do. I just kissed him. And she felt so bad. That's conviction, folks. But that's what you get at the Father's house. That's what you get. See, the son returned. He had to have a revelation of what he was missing out. The older son, he was working so hard trying to impress the father. They think work and suffering is something that is going to ultimately please. They feel to realize that they already have everything. From the time that they were born into a family that everything that the father has always had has been available for them. He's given, us everything. We don't have to work for it. We don't have to, be miserable. It's ours, and it's ours right now. The father celebrated his son's return. The father spares nothing, He spares, he gives the best. And he sacrificed the best for you and I. Jesus went to the cross. When God left heaven, Jesus went to the cross. He died a death that you and I should die ourselves. The Father spared nothing. He celebrates. For those, he celebrates with those that have stayed and sacrificed their lives. Can I tell you? There in Killeen, we have a gentleman. His name is John Stapleman. He is now the longest tenured servant there in the Killeen Church. He got there, I believe it was 1986 or 87. How many were born after 1986 or 87? And he's still there. April Browery was one of the first, people there in the Killeen Church. And she passed away some time ago. A few years ago. And now John Stapleman and his wife are there. Marvin Wells and his wife. Lamont Melrose and his wife. And can I tell you, My wife and I have been there 27 or now going on 27 years and soon to be. See, Jesus Christ was the Father's sacrifice. Whether you are the older or the younger, the Father is always looking and watching you and I. And He's waiting on you this morning to return or to not be miserable because we are in the Father's house. Everything the father tells the older son, he says, son, when the younger son comes up and he says, Father, I've done everything and you've never done anything for me. He said, son, everything I've always had is yours. It's yours. Can I tell you, folks, this morning? Everything that the Father has, it's yours. Let me have every head bowed and eye closed this morning. You're here this morning. You're not saved. You're here this morning. You're not right with God. God truly wants to bless you. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never surrendered your life to Christ. You've been in church. I ran into a gentleman the other day in outreach, and he said, I go to such and such church. I asked him, I said, have you surrendered your life to Christ? He said, sir, if you want me to be honest, he says, I've been going there for years. And I've never surrendered my life to Jesus. Maybe that's you this morning. You've come. Or you've gone to church. Or you've been in church. But just like the answer this man gave me, sir, I've never surrendered my life to Jesus. It would be our pleasure this morning to pray with you and to pray with you, to pray for you. Would you simply do one thing? Acknowledge who you are. We're not going to put you on the mic. We're not going to put anything else. I just want to pray with you. If that's you, all I want you to do is one thing. Just simply raise your hand. I want to pray with you. I want to pray for you. You want to surrender your life to Jesus. God sees that hand, an honest young man. Maybe you are that prodigal son. You were in the Father's house. But you didn't find satisfaction. You thought that you needed more. And you left the Father's house. Things that you said to yourself, I'll never do, you've done. And God this morning is calling you back onto Himself. He's calling you. You're backslidden. You're away from God. You were once in the Father's house. You were there in His glory. But this morning, you find yourself away. But as you got up, you realized, I need to go to my Father's house. I need to go to my Father's house this morning. That's you this morning. You're away from God. Search your heart this morning. You're away from God. If that's you, I want to pray with you. Would you lift up your hand? Quickly, lift up your hand. Don't think about it. If you think about it too long, what are they going to think about me? What are they going to say about me? What does the Father say about us this morning? I'm not going to hold this out. Maybe you've never given your life to Jesus, or you're backslidden this morning. You want to surrender your life back to the Lord. Simply raise your hand quickly. Raise it up quickly. Anybody, from front to back, left to rear. Amen. Church, let me speak to you. How many know that we can have that mindset? All I do, I'm always at church. I'm always, we're always doing this. We're always doing that. Can I tell you, there's safety in the Father's house. There's security in the Father's house. There's freedom in the Father's house. There's joy, and there's life, and life abundantly in the Father's house. The world would tell you it is happy, but they don't tell you the underlined consequences for everything that happens in the world. God this morning wants you to know that everything that He has, you're not being deprived. Everything that He has, as He said, Son, everything that I've always had is yours. And maybe you're looking at things half empty instead of half full. Can God help you this morning? I believe He can. The altar is open. Come, lay hold of God this morning. Amen. Come, lay hold of God. The altar is open. Come, lay hold of God.